Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Ben Swim of Brown Dog Farm. Welcome, Ben. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat with you about your operation. I know you wear a couple of different hats in the community. We'll talk about those as well. I have a couple of quick Farmland Trust announcements. This Friday, which not good at math, but this coming up Friday, I don't know what the date is, the 28th maybe, 29th, I think it's the 28th. Farmland Trust will be at the Friday Fling here in Palmer with a booth. We're going to sell some t-shirts and some hats and some swag. So if you're in Palmer on Friday, come join us at the Friday Fling. Stop by the booth, buy an item, say hello, ask us questions about the trust, etc. I think that's my only announcement for now, except maybe a quick save the date. If you didn't see it on our social media, on Thursday, July 18th, which is four Thursdays from now, we will be celebrating the donation of an easement on a local property. We're super excited about that. We're going to have some food trucks, live music, the revealing of the sign that's going to go on the property. And that property is at the corner of the Glen Highway and Scott Road. We're talking right in Palmer. We have permanently protected 16 acres with the Phipps Massey family. Super excited about that. So save the date. Watch our website and social media for more announcements on that. Anyways, I think that's it for me. Ben, let's jump into this.
Sounds good.
I always like to start by asking my guests, how did you get here? How did you get involved in agriculture? What brought you to Alaska? Tell us a little about yourself.
Sounds good. So I got involved in agriculture soon after graduating from college in 2009. And I farmed for a summer in the Northeast, so in Vermont. And then I was a farm intern at that farm, so like kind of low-level farm work type of stuff, and saw an ad for an AmeriCorps position up here in Alaska at Spring Creek Farm, Alaska Pacific University's farm here in Palmer.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting that. It was an assistant manager position. Spring Creek at that point had CSA shares, all naturally grown produce, selling stuff in Anchorage. And so I came up here for that.
You said that was 2010?
That was 2010.
Okay.
Yep. And so I stayed a couple years at that point.
Yeah.
And loved it up here and found it super interesting, the growing environment up here. Actually met the co-owner of Brown Dog Farm, which is my current farm that I run. And so that's Mimi Rooney. And so we met on Spring Creek Farm.
Okay.
And we got together and left for a year, but then came back up and started Brown Dog Farm in 2013.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is your sixth, seventh season?
I was counting on the way down. Yeah. Seventh season.
Wow.
And so we started growing mostly vegetables.
Okay.
Since then, we've transitioned to mostly cut flowers.
Mostly flowers, yeah.
And so that's what we do most of now. We do a little bit of cut salad greens, too. So we sell the salad greens for to the Bear's Tooth Pub in Anchorage.
Yep.
And we sell salad greens at our farmers market stands, too.
Yeah. So farming background, did you grow up knowing you wanted to be a farmer? Did you go to school to be a farmer? How did you get into this?
Yeah, none of
the
above.
Other than being an intern.
Yeah, good question. None of the above. I grew up, my family, you know, we were members of CSA Share Farms.
Okay.
So we were getting delivery, weekly delivery of vegetables.
All right.
I grew up in Wisconsin, so it's like a big dairy farmland.
Yeah.
But I grew up in the city. I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
You know, there's kind of always a little bit of a, like, DIY hippie vibe in Madison.
Yep.
And, you know, my parents had a community garden plot. They were always canning their own tomatoes. We were always, you know, I thought that was weird at that point, like, eating tomato sauce out of the freezer rather than, like, from the grocery store. But I think that...
connection,
you know,
to place and
connection
local
to
food.
Place connection to local food got me super involved in agriculture and made it an interest going into college. So I studied biology, more like botany and ecology, but also environmental studies. And I was in college around the time when Michael Pollan's Omnivore's Dilemma came out. And that just got me really interested and concerned about exactly where our food comes from, who's producing it, what's going into it, what it's made of.
Yeah.
And so just was interested in getting involved in that coming out of college.
Sure.
And just never left it. So,
yeah. And then the internship in Alaska. And
yeah,
exactly. It's hard to leave this place, isn't it?
I know. Yeah. So yeah, attached to farming and attached to Alaska too.
Yeah. So this could end the interview right here, Ben, how you answer this question. Uh-oh. Are you a Packers fan?
I am a Packers fan.
Yes. Okay. The interview goes on.
Actually,
okay.
Minnesota Vikings.
The door. Okay, great. I just had to ask because I'm a diehard. But moving right along, the name of the farm, Brown Dog Farm.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Sure. So we have a brown dog.
On the farm. Okay.
He's a really good farm dog.
Yeah.
He hangs around. He kind of just lays at the side of the field and is pretty happy. And
okay.
We really love him. We've had him since 2010.
Okay.
And, when we were thinking about naming our farm, we like farms with local place names,
right,
named after something.
The road you're on.
The road
or something, yeah.
Or, the family. Ridge behind the house,
mm-hmm.
or the family. And none of those were popping out to us. So we went with something else close to us, which is our wonderful dog. His name's Oliver. He's pretty great.
Yeah.
We usually don't bring him to market. We haven't for years, but he stays on the farm. So.
Yeah. Okay. So Brown Dog Farm, located here in Palmer, and mm-hmm. you said you started with vegetables, but now you're primarily cut flowers. And why is that? What made you want to transition to the cut flowers?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. There's a lot of reasons, kind of all small that added up to that transition. One is that it's just really fun and really beautiful.
Yeah.
We've been doing vegetables on our farm and other farms for almost the last 10 years. And
okay.
I think as we did that, we're always trying something new. And along the way, it just seemed like more and more flower varieties kept popping up. And we just kept adding more and more every year. And we just really like growing the flowers.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That's one thing. It's really beautiful. It's nice to make someone's day with a bunch of beautiful flowers.
That was one of my favorite jobs in high school. I skipped advanced biology to do a school-to-work program, and I got to work at a flower shop. And
oh, I bet that was great.
Everyone is always excited to see the flower delivery person, right? There's never a bad time to be presenting folks with flowers. You're not a peony grower, though, right?
We're not.
People think Alaska, they think flowers, they immediately think peonies because there's been so much boom there. But that's not what you guys are growing, right?
Yeah, we get that question all the time.
Sure.
And we actually just put in 3 peony plants.
Oh, okay.
So peony growers out there will be like, what? What are you doing? So I guess the answer to that has to do with your last question, which is we also grow flowers because we have a really small piece of land.
Okay.
And it's not our piece of land. So
okay.
we rent it from some really good friends who helped us get off the ground when we moved back to Alaska. And we've kind of just been expanding on it, but we've reached the limits of what we can expand onto.
Yep.
Trying to make a living as a farmer on a small piece of land, we found... I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I thought I turned that off. we found that per acre, cut flowers are much...
higher return.
Higher return.
Okay.
Than vegetables.
Yeah, fair enough.
So we both liked it, and it was working a little bit more financially.
Yeah. And there's a demand. There aren't a lot of folks growing cut flowers yet, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we're this is our first year we're selling at farmers markets, but we're also starting to try to sell to florists and floral designers. We don't have the volume at this time of year, but in the next few weeks, we're hoping to start doing that. And I think there's a huge demand there.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, kind of all those pieces fit together. And with the peony thing, it fits into the part where, since we don't own our land and peonies are perennials.
Long-term investment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we haven't gone that direction yet, but hopefully someday soon.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Ben from Brown Dog Farm here in Palmer, a cut flower operation. So, yeah, let's talk about that a little bit more, about where folks can find you. Are you on social media? Do you have a website? What markets are you selling at? Where can people find your flowers?
Yeah, great. So we have a website. We're browndogfarmak.com.
Okay.
And that kind of gives an overview of other places you can find us.
Okay,
we are on social media too. So we have a Facebook page. We've got an Instagram page, which is super awesome with the flowers.
Yeah.
We started that only kind of after we got the flowers going, because it's nice to showcase those.
Yeah.
And that's Brown Dog Farm AK also. So sure. If you look that up on Instagram or Facebook, you can find us.
Okay.
We are at 2 markets in Anchorage right now.
Yeah.
We're at the Anchorage Farmers Market, 15th and Cordova.
Okay. That's Saturdays.
Saturdays, yeah. 9 to 2. We've been there for the last 4 years, I think.
Okay.
And then we put a stand up at the Midtown Market.
Right.
That just started this last week.
Yeah, saw you guys there on Saturday. Yeah.
Had a great time there, too. So that's 9 to 2 also,
right.
Saturdays in Anchorage.
In the BP parking lot.
In the BP parking lot,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it seemed like a really good market, so
yeah.
It was fun to be there.
Lots of people. People are excited about another access point for all the local food and local products that all of our farmers are working on, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Restaurants seem... Once you're in touch with the flower world, then you start seeing flowers everywhere, right?
Yeah.
They're in restaurants. They're in hotels. They're, you know, people love fresh flowers on their table. So are you accessing some of those wholesale spots for your flowers or?
We haven't yet. And, you know, I think it goes along with what you were saying about demand. And I think there is demand for local flowers. And we just, we don't have enough product yet to reach out to those places.
Good problem to have, though.
It's a good problem to have, yeah. And so we're selling pretty much everything we have at market at this point. Our production's really ramping up. It gets going in July, for sure.
And this hot weather has got to be.
This hot weather, yeah.
The flowers are loving it.
Yeah, something new is coming up every week.
Sure.
Which is super exciting to see. We are exploring kind of doing like a flower CSA for individuals. Buy bouquets to give people living here in Palmer in the Valley like an option for picking up flowers.
Good.
And then, if we run out of options there, I think you're exactly right. Restaurants, conferences.
Right.
Other kinds of wholesale events.
If a person were planning a wedding, an event, something big in this summer or next, are you taking on clients like that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We are actually, and we haven't advertised it on our website, but I can advertise it here. We do DIY flowers for that type of event.
So
do it yourself flowers. We are not at this point arranging for larger events, conferences or weddings or anything like that. But we will sell you flowers if you want to arrange them yourself. Or if you want to get a local designer,
sure.
You use local flowers to design for that
there
event.
You go.
So we sell by the bucket for those events, basically.
Very good.
And since the season's short here, you know, we can't guarantee that you'll have, you know, any certain type of variety. We can tell you hopefully what types of varieties you would have. If you want to have your wedding in August, we can give you a good idea of what we'll have.
Sure.
And then we sell.
But it's farming.
Exactly. And then
in
we
Alaska.
Sell by the 5 gallon bucket. $80 a bucket, basically.
Okay.
And you can do a pickup and,
And
walk away with a bunch of flowers.
Wow, that sounds incredible. Yeah. Talk to us about the types of flowers. Now this, you know, let's put it in layman's terms, you know, because not everybody's going to know your scientific names of flowers, et cetera. But what kind of flowers are you growing?
We use mostly layman's terms. A lot of flowers that tons of people recognize, so things like sunflowers, straw flowers, which is kind of like an old-fashioned variety that people get excited about. A couple of varieties that we're really excited that we started growing last year that people like for weddings, anemones is one, and then ranunculus, which is in the buttercup family, and they're just really gorgeous.
Fun.
And both of those are spring flowers. They love cool weather. We're actually worried about this hot spell right now.
Yeah.
Our first planting was doing really well, and now we're hoping that the second planting isn't like a little too hot.
Right.
But here in Alaska, you know, like last summer, it was like spring all the way through, right? Like,
it was.
You know, in terms of if you were growing these flowers in on the West Coast or the Northeast or something, here is pretty much spring all the way through.
Right.
So we,
you
know, we grow a lot of the things that people other places grow all spring.
Right.
Sweet peas, snapdragons.
Are you growing for, when you think about your end user, are you growing flowers for color or are you growing for variety? Like what are you thinking as you're planning out your garden beds and your flowers?
Yeah, good question. So,
or just what grows here in Alaska. I mean, is that obviously that's part of the
equation? I think that's the biggest limiting factor, right? It's like what grows here in Alaska and then what colors you can get. And then who's going to buy it, right? So a lot of it is like we sell at a market, so we want to grow stuff that people buy at the market. Sunflowers are great, right?
Sure.
People recognize those.
Yep.
But also things you can arrange, so things that catch your eye.
Yep.
You know, we do grow a bunch of fillers that we can, you know, mix with those larger larger eye-catching flowers. And then moving towards also growing some more flowers that people are interested for weddings or wholesale. So that's where like the ranunculus, anemone, asters, that type of thing come in. Because those are like anemone, you actually, you know, we've had multiple people say they don't sell at florist shops here because it's so hard to get them up here. They're just a really fragile flower.
Okay. So you guys have it. And
we have it and we're excited to, you know, start seeing if people are interested in buying it.
Very good. What is, what's the biggest challenge to growing flowers in Alaska? What's a pest, or is it pest, disease? Is it weather?
Right.
What's the thing that keeps you guys up at night?
You know, it's interesting. We're on a small piece of land and, we're a little bit up in the woods. We opened land for the farm.
Okay.
And so we've just been talking about, you know, a few of our, I think it was our straw flowers kind of lost their buds. And we were like, oh, okay, that's interesting. You know, last year we didn't deal with pests at all, really, on on our flowers. A few aphids.
Yeah.
But not too much at all. And it'll be interesting to see kind of as we grow more what pests we are going to face.
Sure.
Because we're used to vegetable pests, you know.
We
know how to manage those. Yeah. We know how to manage flea beetles or root maggots or whatever else. But it'll be interesting to see what pest management in flowers is like.
Are you guys growing organically, sustainably?
Yeah, so we're not certified organic, but we don't use any chemicals. We're like all natural.
Yeah. Do you find that customers are in tune with that? I feel like some people don't realize how many chemicals are used in flower production on a commercial scale, right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think we get less questions about it on flowers than we did with vegetables.
Yeah.
Maybe because people aren't putting the flowers in their bodies like they are vegetables, right?
But you're getting close to it.
I know, you're
usually
getting
on your table where your food is.
Exactly.
You know,
and the environment too, right?
Like,
people still care about that. So we do get questions. You know, we get a ton of questions about like vase life, how long our flowers last.
Yeah.
And you know, that can vary depending on what you put on your flowers or you know, what you feed them.
Yeah.
And our flowers last usually, if you buy a bouquet at market, last a week solid.
Yeah.
And people are super impressed by that.
Yeah.
And we don't do anything to them.
Sure.
You know, we don't put any like life sustaining, you know, flower food in the vases or buckets or anything.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really attractive part of our flowers.
Absolutely.
For people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Ben from Brown Dog Farm, a cut flower farm here in Palmer. So you're selling at markets. You have a website where people can contact you to find more information.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see as the future of the farm? Are you looking towards finding your own property, more space, expansion? What are you thinking about?
Yeah, so I think, yes, we need room for expansion. You know, at this point, we're kind of seeing if the flower thing takes off with florists and wholesale.
Yeah.
We feel pretty established in the Anchorage Farmers Market. We have a lot of regular buyers there, but kind of putting up another market stand this summer to see how that goes. And it feels like there's demand for local flowers.
Absolutely.
And so it seems like the limiting factor at this point will be land.
Space.
Just space, basically. And we're super happy with where we're at right now. And we don't have the money to outright buy a piece of land at this point. But I think in the next couple of years, we'll kind of be looking at options, especially here in Palmer. We're interested in staying in the valley. We have friends in the valley. We love the valley.
Yeah.
It's close to Anchorage. It's beautiful. It's a good community.
It's such a great town.
It's a good place
Everybody
to be.
Loves Palmer.
Yeah.
That's what we're up against at Farmland Trust, right? Everybody loves Palmer.
Yep.
Wants to build their house here, darn it. But but we can relate. It's a good spot to be. What is your favorite flower, Ben?
What is my favorite flower? I know I've talked about them already, but I love the ranunculus flower.
Describe it. For people that haven't seen it, describe that flower.
So it starts out like a really, really dense, kind of like smaller than a golf ball, but like dense ball of petals.
Yeah.
And that's how we pick it. And we bring it to market just past that phase. And from there, it just opens. Slowly, and it'll last like 10 or 14 days.
Oh,
and we've got all kinds of colors. So we've got like a dark chocolate color pink, white, yellow.
Yeah.
We've got this like peachy color right now. Right. That's really, really nice.
And when they open, they get a little bit bigger than that golf ball,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. They'll get bigger, and the petals will kind of open out, and it's just this like densely layered, super complex flower.
That's
super beautiful.
And I don't think they're too common. Like, I don't know if I don't really remember seeing those like. If you shop at the grocery store for flowers, like for minute bouquet or something, right?
Yeah, I bought them at the grocery store once last year because we hadn't grown them yet. Last year was our first time growing them.
Okay.
And I saw them in April before any of us had come up. And I was like, oh, we got to get these. But I was looking this year and I didn't see any.
Yeah.
I think they're a very popular wedding flower.
Sure.
An event flower.
They're like a Pinterest popular flower, right?
Totally.
Everybody's seeing them right now.
But like, I don't know why people don't know about them. They're just like, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
They are a little hard to grow. We have to sprout them pretty early. And in Alaska, they're not perennial, so they're not hardy. They don't overwinter.
Yeah.
Whereas other places, they do overwinter a little better.
Okay.
So we have to start them early, and we have to start them each year.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's bit of investment.
Yeah.
They come as corms. So it's this little dried out root mass. It's like not the roots, but it's everything. The roots put energy into this.
Okay.
Basically,
kind of like a tuber.
It's like a tuber. It's smaller.
Okay.
And you dry it all the way out. We actually saved some successfully from last year.
Okay.
You dry them out and then you can store them kind of in cold storage over the winter.
Yeah.
And then you soak them and then
wake
you sprout them and then they wake back up and they sprout.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool process.
So your season, you're kind of in gearing up for full production right now, but when this winter or spring, when did you really start, you know, putting everything into dirt?
Mm-hmm. So we have a tiny little wood-fired greenhouse that we start seeds in about mid-March.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, yeah, that's our system. We're stoking the fire a couple times a day, starting seeds in there.
Yep.
And then we have a couple high tunnels, so we grow early flowers. And that's what's coming on right now.
Okay. And when did you get into your high tunnels?
We got in the high tunnels, I want to say early April, first week of April.
Yeah. We had a pretty nice April, right?
It was. Yeah, it was super warm.
Yeah.
We do tulips. We did tulips this year and last year.
Right. They were beautiful.
And tulips were a couple weeks earlier than last year.
Okay.
And those come out of the high tunnel too.
Yeah.
But actually we had some overwinter outside.
Oh, wow.
So we might try that. It could have just been, it was a little bit of a mild winter.
Sure.
So you don't want to push your luck too much.
Right. Don't take that to the bank yet.
Yeah, but, exactly.
And how long will your season last, Ben? How long can we expect to see those flowers at market?
Until snow flies, pretty much. Yeah, so we'll have stuff. We'll plant back into the high tunnels for fall flowers.
Okay.
And there's some stuff that won't mature until September. You know, Rudbeckia or Black-Eyed Susan is like a long season flower. We do decorative kales that are cold hardy. And a lot of flowers, too, are cold hardy, like these ranunculus and anemone, you know, they can survive like 22 degrees.
Wow.
So a lot of those, you know, production slows way down.
Sure, sure.
But we'll have a ton of flowers into October still. And we're exploring doing more like dried flowers. So picking stuff, drying it, and kind of doing dried bouquets into the fall, too.
Yeah.
So
I've heard that that's a big trend right now, too, for brides and events to have dried flowers.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think if you want to buy flowers locally, that extends your season for sure.
Yeah.
And they're really pretty in their own way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So going back to kind of what inspired you to be a flower farmer, and it doesn't sound like that was what you dreamed of being for long.
Yeah.
But where does the other inspiration come from? Like, do you, was it just market demand, or you saw that there was a need for this? Did you attend an event one day and said, man, I could be a flower farmer in Palmer? Or how did you develop into this?
Yeah, I think it was a slow development. I think both Mimi and I, Mimi's the other co-owner of Brown Dog Farm, you know, once we got into farming, love farming because of the problem solving. And, you know, there's also the like working for yourself and being outside
and
all that. Being your own boss. It's really nice. But we both like to be really engaged, like mentally with what we're doing. And
There's always a new challenge, right?
And I think flowers just presented kind of a new, exciting thing that we could challenge ourselves with. Not that we always have to be challenging ourselves. I think the challenge that we're always trying to, you know, meet is like, how do you be a small farmer and pay yourself enough to make a living? Right.
Yeah. And keep it sustainable, right? Your mental health and your physical health. Yeah.
And so I think flowers have offered the latest answer to that challenge.
Okay. Yeah.
In terms of like, okay, maybe if, you know, we've got this tiny piece of land, maybe if we arrange it in this way and grow these things, we can make a go of it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like our farming story, is just like, can we make a go of it, right?
Sure.
Like, we love it.
Yeah.
Can we keep doing it?
Yeah.
And so I think flowers, beyond, you know, all the other reasons we like them, have just been an answer to that. Like,
sure.
Okay, like, maybe this is how we do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
are you guys traveling, or have you, or is it part of the plan to travel outside to any, you know, specially cut flower grower conferences or workshops, or, you know, are there any sources for new ideas and things like that that you're looking towards?
We don't have plans right now to travel to conferences.
Okay.
But, you know, like, all these social media sites, like, we follow a ton of people on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's other people growing in cold climates. You know, there's
Absolutely.
People in Alberta
yeah.
Who are growing tons of flowers and doing it really well. There's other people here in Alaska. And so, you know, getting ideas from them, you know, we've definitely, like, you know, we're pretty new to the flower thing. So just
I feel like identifying it's
varieties.
New. Yeah. I feel like it's pretty new in Alaska in general, apart from the peonies. I mean, even the peonies is new. It's only celebrating about 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And there's still new things happening every day, new challenges, new diseases and pests, and you get a crazy winter and it wipes out your entire crop, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it's just interesting. And with the lack of funding at Cooperative Extension, you know, where do you go for help, or how do you, like, I just feel like you're kind of out there charging ahead.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think, you know, having a background in vegetables, like, helps, right? Like, we feel pretty confident that if we put something into the ground, it'll grow.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know,
although it's a miracle every time, right?
When it
comes out of the ground.
Yeah, especially with flowers, these ones that, you know, we haven't tried before, like, seeing what they look like when they actually come up. Looking at it in a catalog is much different than it coming into the field. So that's been really good. But yeah, you know, I think, looking to other flower farmers for support. People are so connected online now.
Yeah.
You know, we had tulip questions, and we emailed Alaska Stems down in Homer.
Oh,
and
yeah,
she was
Rachel
happy to,
does.
Help. So, yeah, you know, as problems arise, hopefully we'll be able to find a supportive network.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's super cool to know that you're here in the community, that you're growing local flowers, that people have an option. So you said Brown Dog Farm AK.
Yeah, exactly.
Com.
I think there's a Brown Dog Farm in Wisconsin. So we are Brown Dog Farm AK.com.
Okay. And so you said at the Anchorage Farmers Market on 15th and Cordova, Anchorage Midtown Market at BP on Saturdays. And if you're in Palmer and you want these flowers, you need to contact you guys directly. And
Exactly. Send us
option.
An email. We do that wholesale option. And then if you're interested in CSA options too, we don't have pickup sites yet. We don't have anything organized, but looking in the future to do kind of weekly or every other week deliveries for flowers.
Who doesn't love fresh flowers
on
their table, at their desk?
All summer.
Yeah. I love it. I know. I wish someone would buy me a bouquet subscription. Ben, thanks so much for joining me this morning on Ag Matters Radio. It's been a pleasure to learn more about Brown Dog Farm.
Thanks, Amy. It's been great being here.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.